You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Welcome to the desert of the real. Billions of people just living out their lives, oblivious. This can't be.
Be what?
Be real? The real world.
And this is the Unzipped Show. I am Derek, and today we dig a little bit into the term fake news. Especially lately, it's been going around quite a bit. We've heard President Trump say it. We've heard it out of individuals, heard it at different places. But what is it?
As an investigative journalist, I found myself with a few questions about the emergence of fake news as a phrase and as a fad. Number one, what is fake news and what is not?
By the way, this is from TEDx Talks, and this is Cheryl Atkinson.
Number two, when did fake news begin? And number three, most interesting of all, I've investigated the shadowy multi-billion dollar industry that seeks to manipulate all of us through news, social media, and online. So I wondered, who's behind the massive effort to direct our attention onto fake news? Is fake news real? First, the definition of fake news depends on where you sit. It's not as if there's an extreme dictionary authority that gets to decide for everybody, though some are trying, more on that in a moment. But when did fake news under anybody's definition begin? Well, fake news has always been embedded in our culture. It just wasn't called that. The supermarket racks gave popular rise to blatantly fake news, with front page images of aliens impregnating unsuspecting, usually large-breasted earthling women. Most people probably believed little to nothing of what they read in these publications. A few people might have believed everything. But there are countless examples of fake news surfacing in mainstream news. Example, in 1996, a news media frenzy wrongly blamed a security guard named Richard Jewell for the Atlanta Olympic bombing. We later learned that poor Jewell had actually been a hero, moving people away from a suspicious backpack before it exploded. On 9/11, a network TV news reporter falsely reported that a terrorist plane had crashed in the presidential retreat Camp David. Never happened. The internet revolutionized fake news, whether we're talking about a rumor or intentional disinformation or biased, sloppy, erroneous reporting. What would have circulated amongst a relative few could now develop a global following overnight. Example, in 2012, 26 people were murdered at Sandy Hook Elementary. Blogs and social media immediately began circulating rumors and images, insisting the whole thing was a hoax drummed up by the government and staged by actors. In 2014, Rolling Stone magazine reported on a sensational case of a fraternity gang rape that turned out to be so unsubstantiated that Rolling Stone retracted the article and the reporter was found guilty of malice in a defamation lawsuit. And whatever you think of the 2014 police shooting of Michael Brown, even the Obama Justice Department eventually ruled that the entire hands up, don't shoot scenario, which blanketed the news day in and day out, was probably fabricated and that the police officer acted in legitimate self-defense. But it wasn't until 2016 that the actual phrase fake news was introduced to the American public on a national scale. Liberals were first to heavily promote use of the phrase, referring to conservative disinformation and right-wing websites, and there's certainly plenty of that. Example, as Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton battled it out, a website called the Conservative Daily Post published a huge amount of pro-Trump, anti-Clinton propaganda under the name and likeness of a former beauty queen named Laura Hunter. The real Laura Hunter says she didn't write any of those articles. She claims imposters turned her into a spokesman for a radical right-wing website that peddles fake news. She sued them. Meantime, Trump and conservatives counterpunch with their own notion of fake news, meaning biased, sloppy, erroneous reporting, as committed by the mainstream media and the left.
I think it was disgraceful that the intelligence agencies allowed any information that turned out to be so false and fake out. I think it's a disgrace. And I say that. And that's something that Nazi Germany would have done and did do. I think it's a disgrace that information that was false and fake and never happened got released to the public. As far as BuzzFeed, which is a failing pile of garbage, writing it, I think they're going to suffer the consequences. They already are. And as far as CNN going out of their way to build it up. And by the way, we just found out I was coming down. Michael Cohen is a very talented lawyer. He's a good lawyer in my firm. It was just reported that it wasn't this Michael Cohen they were talking about. So all night long, it's Michael Cohen. I said, I want to see your passport. He brings his passport to my office. I say, hey, wait a minute. He didn't leave the country. He wasn't out of the country. They had Michael Cohen of the Trump Organization was in Prague. It turned out to be a different Michael Cohen. It's a disgrace what took place. It's a disgrace. And I think they ought to apologize to start with Michael Cohen. Go ahead. No, not you. Not you. Your organization's terrible. Let's go. Go ahead. Quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude. No, I'm not going to give you a question. You are fake news. Go ahead.
Well, there you go. And, you know, you almost have to, anything in the news nowadays, you almost have to research it all yourself anyway, because you have to just try and decide what is fake news, what isn't anymore. I mean, some of it you can pretty much read into, you know, it's not exactly correct. Is that the word I'm looking for? Exactly correct. But nowadays it's so much bullshit out there. You almost have to call it all fake news almost. I mean, it's almost to the point of what's real and what isn't. It's getting kind of fucking ridiculous. And it just gets old. I mean, it goes from even in this next clip from Channel 4 News, you even social media is also a breeding ground for a lot of fake news.
In the political maelstrom of a US election, fake news tapped its richest seam yet.
The epidemic of malicious fake news and false propaganda.
Disinformation, fake news.
This is something that has constantly been disproved.
This isn't true. This isn't right.
Clinton branded a pedophile and the Pope endorsing Trump. They were made up stories shared millions of times. But from Washington to Westminster, politicians are spooked. Maybe England rugby players too.
There are quite a lot of fake news stories operating on Facebook that A, have died.
Random reality bending or downright democracy threatening. There's no getting away from it.
I'm not going to give you a question.
Can you stay categorical?
You are fake news.
Fake news is big news.
This is a lie.
What do we mean by the phrase fake news? Deliberately false stories manufactured to fool you? Well, we can all agree on that one. But what about those satirical spoof news websites or real event news reports which clearly pander to an agenda? Is that fake news too? From a few drinking dens in Bristol, we invited some definitions.
What do you understand by fake news?
Propaganda.
Well,
media spin as well. Like, it might have some truth to it, but like maybe a word of truth, but not the whole truth.
When I say fake news, what comes to mind?
Today, clickbait.
Clickbait. Dodgy news stories, print and broadcast, aren't exactly new. It's just their breeding ground has got a whole load bigger.
People on their way to work filled up the travelling time in the good old way by reading all about it.
The old order of news looks increasingly quaint in an age of social media. For young people now, their main source of news.
We'll click it, and that would be like, it's really bad. But it's on. It's like, honestly,
is that
true
news?
But in the vast world of news, how easy is it to spot a fake? In a YouGov survey for Channel 4, 1,600 people were shown six headlines, three true, three fake. Just 4% correctly identified all three true stories and all three fake stories.
And that's what I was saying a few minutes ago, is what is real, what is fake? How do you know unless you have to go, unless you research it yourself? And then when you're researching it, I mean, are you looking at fake news research? Is that how I would say that? If I think a story is fake, how do I research the truth?
Half thought at least one of the fake stories they were shown was true.
Question number 8. Was Scotland's largest island?
We tried out some of the headlines in Bristol. Pub quizzes first.
Trump offering free one-way tickets to Africa and Mexico for those who want to leave America.
Yeah, probably true. He probably would do that.
Yeah, probably. That's very Trumpy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Iceland to host New Year's Eve party for asylum seekers. What do you think?
I think that's fake news.
I think it's fake news.
I think it's true.
I'm going to say true. Mm. I'm going to say true as well.
Half of those surveyed said they were worried about the effects of fake news. And that number was even higher among the under 25s.
Are you worried by fake news?
No, not at all.
Why not?
Because people have a duty to research their own information.
And that's where the problem comes in. It's trying to research the information. Where do you research it at? I guess you could, but how much of what you're researching is true?
I think it's very pernicious, actually. And it's fake, and it's not doing the media any good whatsoever, because it just makes me even more suspicious.
And what's even sadder are the people that don't research and buy into the bullshit fake news.
If you suspect a news story is fake, you can report it.
Facebook and Google are now looking at new ways to filter out or flag up fake news. But asked if Facebook and other social media sites like Twitter are doing enough to tackle fake news, 2/3 of those surveyed said they aren't. A majority also wanted the government to do more. Most of our interviewees in Bristol favoured more independent fact-checking.
That's pretty funny. The government's going to help with disinformation.
I don't know if there's a role for the government, but I feel like there could be some outside body that could perhaps sort of put their stamp of approval.
If on Facebook you could just say, flag it, I don't think it's real, and someone could look into it, it's, you know, another way of catching all this news before it's getting to everyone.
I don't see how anybody can police it. If you're going to police it, then you have to police free speech. And how do you police freedom of speech?
So what do you do about it then?
Educate people.
We just got to learn to be more sensible when listening to gossip.
Sound advice indeed, but in this so-called post-truth world, the task of sifting gospel from gossip isn't always quite as black and white as we'd like.
And it's much like it's what's going on now. I mean, with fake news, is even with the coronavirus, how much of it's true?
Really? Silver is the weapon against coronavirus?
Tested on other strains of the coronavirus and has been able to eliminate it within 12 hours.
Now, see, wouldn't this get down to, and maybe you've already thought of this, I mean, it gets down to false information that turns, or fake news that turns dangerous now.
Jim Bakker, the televangelist, has now been sued for selling these fake coronavirus cures. Fraudsters are wasting no time to make money from your fear. The hoax likely originated from a widespread belief in silver's antibacterial properties. Some toothbrush brands have hyped the metal too in order to boost sales. But scientists agree silver has no effect against the coronavirus. In fact, exposure to colloidal silver can be toxic.
But then again, it should work. Didn't the coronavirus come from the 5G towers? I thought.
Times of crisis are always great times for fake news and propaganda. And the more ridiculous the claims, it seems, the more traction they gain on social media. Be it tips like drinking alcohol to kill the virus and fight the disease, as tempting as it may sound for some, it isn't. Or religious claims that corona was a punishment dished out by God or Mother Nature. Our team from DW Science has put together a selection of some of the most outrageous fake news about COVID-19.
Whatever you do, don't try this at home. This clip, widely shared on WhatsApp, is just one example of the many coronavirus-related stories circulating on...
Which, I gotta explain it real quick. That clip is someone spraying a disinfectant in their mouth and then lighting it with a lighter.
Line. The problem, as the disease continues to spread, fake news is going viral too. In India, a picture purporting to show an Italian boy taking his life after all his family members died from coronavirus went viral. But a fact check revealed that the footage actually shows the suicide of a woman before the outbreak. And this photo doesn't show dead bodies on the streets of Italy. It's actually an art installation in Germany. Also doing the rounds, conspiracy theories. Among them, that a South Korean series forecast the coronavirus outbreak back in 2018. Just one of many false stories describing the pandemic as a premeditated event. Platforms like Facebook are rife breeding grounds for the spread of fake news. The social networking giant is among several companies pledging to take stronger action to prevent the spread of misinformation. Others, too, are doing their bit to make sure people are getting the right information about corona. A service called Africa Check recently had to rebuff a South African mayor's claim that a vaccine against coronavirus had been developed.
Now, while much of Asia seems just over the hill and most of Europe is in mid-battle against COVID-19, Africa is bracing for impact. And fake news is not helping societies there to prepare for the onslaught. Let's bring in Vincent Ngeti. He's a deputy Kenya editor at Africa Check and joins us from Nairobi. Vincent, how much of a problem is corona fake news in African countries right now?
Thanks for having me. Coronavirus misinformation is a big, big problem. And the reason is that the more people believe misinformation, then they will not follow the instructions. They're not going to wash their hands. They won't practice social distancing. And they will not stay at home. So these things mean that if they don't pay attention, the virus spreads more. And on top of that, you have people trying certain fake cures or medicines that have been proven not to work. We've seen in Nigeria, for example, that people have been poisoned by chloroquine because they heard it could work.
Vincent, what's the weirdest piece of fake news you've come across so far?
Well, the weirdest I have come across is that if you take some orange peels and you boil them and you inhale the steam, you can cure coronavirus. And we know that's not true because your body temperature, internal body temperature, never really changes. All you end up doing is burning your nose.
And you know what's funny is there's people out there actually trying this shit. When President Trump said about drinking disinfected or whatever he said at that time, whether he was kidding or not, what's funny is the people that actually did it.
Why on earth are people actually believing this kind of stuff?
Well, people believe misinformation, particularly about health, because it ties into their fears. People are afraid of diseases that are difficult to cure. And so this gives them hope. And when you give them hope, they will try these fake cures. They will buy medicines, fake medicines, if they have to. You should notice that really we don't see a lot of fake news about a disease like malaria because we all knew it's curable and the medicine is clearly accessible.
Do people across Africa generally trust their governments to take the right measures or force that misinformation on fertile ground?
People are more or less trustful of their governments. And the reason they are is because they know that government really can do the most to protect them. What we have seen is a bit of dissatisfaction with the measures that are being taken. So, for example, in Kenya, we know that, for example, the number of tests have been rising, but there's a concern that they're not enough. And also the fact that a lot of people live in an informal economy in Kenya, so they have to go out every day and earn money. And it's very difficult to tell people like that to stay at home and self-isolate unless you're providing them with food or money so that they can stay inside.
Who benefits from these fake news?
And that's a good question, too. On this type of thing with the coronavirus and fake news, who does benefit? Because we know fake news coming from whether it be CNN or Fox favors the left or the right. So that's an interesting question. Let's see.
A number of people benefit. There are people who want to grow their influence online, and they'll spread anything that is fake, whether it's about coronavirus or politics, it doesn't matter. Then there are people who want to actually make a business selling fake cures so that you can actually spend your money to buy a fake cure or to do things that are not true, for example, the orange peel water. And then finally, you've got people who want to drive political agendas. So they're going to capitalize on people's fears to spread these stories and that way spread the agenda that probably the system is wrong and therefore you should follow me because I have the solution. So there are people doing it digitally online. They have technological reasons. Others have commercial reasons and some have political reasons.
Yep, and it just goes on and on. So it's everywhere. I mean, it's in everything, not just politics. It's in the coronavirus even. Oh, well, you can decide whether this was a fake podcast. Thank you for listening. Till next time.